Welcome to the Rock. We're glad you're here. I'm glad to be your pastor. And again, let's give it up for the sound and the video guys. Because you got to understand something. Everything that we try to do was working 2 hours ago or an hour ago or 15 minutes. Everything works, right? And then something happens. It's just what it is. So God bless them and all the hard work. Appreciate you guys. Welcome again. We are continuing with our Roots 2.0. We're going through a four-week financial stewardship, generosity. We're studying generosity in our small groups, and we're at part three tonight. Next week is our grand finale. You don't want to miss next week because we are in the process of trusting God to help us raise at least $2.5 million to be able to put a building on our property in Draper for our Sandy building, which we have been told we have to leave. We've been kicked out of the building. They're going to tear it down in July, August, or September. We're not sure which one. Hopefully the latter. Hopefully another year goes by before they tear it down. You can be praying that that happens. Either way, we've got to find a place to meet, and we've decided let's just press ahead, trust God to help us get a permanent facility to own our own building for the first time in Utah. We're going to be here a long time anyway. Why pay rent, right? We're going to be here 50, 100, 150 years until the Lord tarries. We're going to be here a long time. So that's what we're in the middle of. As a church, believing God's going to do that. I just want to encourage you guys that you are in one of the most generous churches that you can even imagine. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a generous dude or dudette. Just say that real quick. You're generous. It is true. I'm not lying. Last week, as you know, right in the middle of our own very own fundraiser, trying to raise money, millions of dollars for our own building, we took an offering, not for ourselves, but for people that were poorer than us. We just passed cans and everybody dug in. We did our Change the World, where we just put our change in these buckets to help poor people in Honduras and poor gypsies in Romania to build buildings for them when we do our short-term mission in July. But we're going to do two different missions, and we're going to build buildings. And you guys dug deep and you poured your change in, and some of you had to do more than change. I'm just saying, you had to do more than change. Nobody carries that much change because we raised over $7,000 for those poor people. Amen. And our church, yeah, that's in one night. That's just passing cans and dumping change in. $7,000. And our church is going to match that. So we're going to send $15,000 out of our church. We're going to send $10,000 to Romania and $5,000 to Honduras. That's kind of how we set it up, to build buildings and to bless people that are much poorer than we are. So God bless you. You are in a generous church. Everybody around you is generous. I was just told on the way in here, a friend told me a story that they want to go on one of these mission trips, and they've been trying to raise money, and somebody anonymously just paid their whole thing. And they said they were so blessed by that, even cried about it. And he's the kind of dude that doesn't cry. He's like me. Doesn't cry about a lot. But that's generosity. People are just generous in this church. So God bless you. I'm so honored to be one of your pastors. And I'm not kidding that. I was thinking through this message, and I wanted to make sure I said that because it is true. And even as I said it, I said to myself, and that is so true. It is true. I am blessed and honored to be your pastor. We serve with, this is a cut above right here, this church. And I've seen it for 13 years, and God bless you. So we're going to continue on. We're going to do part three of our series here. We're going to talk about sacrifice. So I'm in such a good mood. I'm such a jovial mood. I'm going to tell you a joke, okay? Is that all right? All right, so it's about sacrifice, because sacrifice is hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to sacrifice? Yes? Well, if it's not hard, then it's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is hard, whether it's our time, our treasure, our talents, to give that away when we could spend it on ourselves or use it on ourselves, that is difficult. So here's the joke. Okay, an older couple, very, very old couple, and they've been married a long time, and they're just getting on in years, and time is winding down for them. It's in the sunset of their life, and he's kind of sickly, and he had to go to the hospital and get some tests. And so him and his wife of many, many years, they go back to the doctor's office to find out the results of some of these tests because he hasn't been feeling good at all. Now, he's also almost deaf. He can't hear anything. So the only way he can get communicated to is if his wife leans in and talks really loud into his ear, then he can hear it, okay? So they go to the doctor's office, and they kind of, with their canes, they kind of walk in, and they sit down, and the doctor says, I have good news and I have bad news about your test results. And he's talking to the lady, of course, because he can't hear anything. He's just sitting there waiting to be informed on what the doctor's saying. The doctor says, good news and bad news. The bad news is what he has is terminal. It will certainly kill him. And she said, well, what's the good news? And he said, well, the good news is there is a prognosis. You can force this into remission. And she said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, if you just take care of him, if he's just able to rest and have his needs taken care of and not have to be stressed out at all, then we can actually put this off, that it'll put it in remission. And she said, what do I have to do? She said, well, you have to serve him and follow him around and meet all his physical needs and emotional needs and clean him and feed him and do everything for him. And if you do that, then he'll be fine. And he kind of tapped, the old gentleman tapped him on his wife on the shoulder and said, whoa, what did he say? And she looked at the doctor. She leaned at him and said, he said, you're going to die. Because sacrifice is hard. But you know what? There are people in this room that have sacrificed much more than that. And you know them, and I know them. There are people who have laid their lives down for other people. Because that's what Christians do. And that's what I've seen you guys do. Phenomenal sacrifice. Phenomenal sacrifice, which blesses my life when I see it. And I see it all around. That's what's built this church, and that's what's going to continue to build this church. Men and women who are willing to lay down their time, their treasure, and their talent for others. Matter of fact, even in the Webster's, it gives a definition that brings God into the picture. Webster says, sacrifice is offering to God something precious for the sake of something or someone else. That's sacrifice. And so many of you are so sacrificial. I want to show you a clip, because none of us want to live with regrets in any way, shape, or form. We want to be ones that practice generosity, practice being sacrificial in every area of our life. There's a clip that I want you to watch that is so good. I've shown it before, but on this whole issue of not wanting to leave anything on the table, not have any regrets when we get to heaven. It has to do with a man named Oscar Schindler, who I'm sure you are familiar with. Oscar Schindler, he's the guy that made Schindler's List, that movie. It was based on his life. He was an ethnic German industrialist. He was a profiteer. He made lots of money because of the war. He was actually part of the Nazi party so that he could make more money. He was a German spy, but he's most well known for saving over 1,200 Jews who were headed for the gas chambers, because he hired them into his plants. And toward the end of the war, when it became clear to him what was happening, he spent his own fortune to try to save as many of his workers, the Jewish workers, as he could. He's actually memorialized in Yad Vashem Memorial Museum in Israel. I've been there 3 times to this museum. I've been to his grave. That's not the picture I took, but I've taken pictures of this grave of Oscar Schindler is buried there in Jerusalem. And he is put in an area of the museum, and the place where he is buried is called the place of the righteous Gentiles. So he was very honored in Israel for what he did. So what we're going to see is a clip from Schindler's List toward the end of the movie, where it becomes evident that the Allies are coming in. And at this point, they were probably in Poland or Czechoslovakia. But Allies are coming in. They're finding these death camps. And Oscar Schindler is a Nazi and a German spy. So he is, even though he's done good stuff, he knows that he's probably in a lot of trouble. So these Jews that he saved are trying to help him escape out of occupied, wherever he's at, Germany or Poland. I can't remember where he's at, but Allies are coming. So they dress him in prison clothes. They give him a letter saying, explaining what he did. They all signed it to try to get him not to get in trouble. Does that make sense? So just, I want you to watch closely to his reaction when the weight of what's happening and what he could have done hits him. So watch this and I'll be right back up.
Mm-hmm. Hebrew and from the Talmud, it says whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Kurt would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. And more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person is there. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't.
The idea, or even the thought, of entering eternity with regrets. I could have done more. That's what he kept saying. I could have done more. And he realized it too late that this pin could have been, I could have sold this pin for 2 people, 2 lives. The weight of how he spent and misspent the things that had been given to him hit him. It could have translated into save lives. That's why I love that clip. It convicts me anyway. I think I don't want to get to heaven and think, and I spent all this money over here, and I could have used it for something that would have made a difference in eternity, saved lives. And that's what counts. We don't want to have regrets. We don't want to say, I could have done more. God wants us now. We don't know how long we have. God wants us to use the resources we have to be able to change eternity. That's what a good godly steward does. Takes God's stuff and manages it well to accomplish God's purposes. And that's what we want to be. So sacrifice. God wants us to learn how to sacrifice. So this is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at 3 truths about sacrifice. 3 truths about sacrifice. Let's pray. And I've just got 3 big points. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thanks even for that reminder from that clip. It is so sobering to me and so powerful to think, at the end of my life, will I look back and say, I wasted so much. You have no idea how much I wasted when I realized what I could have used it for. God, I pray that none of us would have those kind of regrets or those kind of thoughts. We would say, God, it's all yours now. Just point me the direction you want me to go. What do you want me to use it for? I want to help save lives. So help us tonight understand just a little bit better, a little bit more, what it means to be a good and godly steward, what it means to be sacrificial. We pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We want to honor you with everything you've given to us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you have a handout. If you want to pull it out and fill in the blanks, you can do that. Three truths about sacrifice. Here's the first truth, is that sacrificial giving is not about the amount. Now, this is so important because it's counterintuitive. Matter of fact, I had this conversation with my son as I drove down here tonight just about the campaign and how it's going. And the idea, you know, you can almost feel bad. Well, I can't give much. Well, it's sacrificial giving really doesn't have a lot to do about the amount. Or in other words, it doesn't have a lot to do about giving lots. Okay? And you'll understand when Jesus shares with us through the parable of the widow's mite that it's not about the amount, it's about the heart when it comes to sacrifice. It's about the heart. Sacrifice is about the heart, not about the amount. Not that you have tons of money that you give away. That's not what it's about. It's about your heart. That's what giving is always about. So we're going to look at an example, the widow's mite. And a lot of people call that the valuable gift, the widow's mite. We're going to read it. This is Jesus sitting down at the temple watching people give money, which is just kind of comical in and of itself to think of Jesus. What are you doing, Jesus? We're just hanging out watching people dump money in that bucket over there. It'd be like Jesus sitting back at the giving box back there, just sitting there watching people. Hi, how are you? And, you know, he's 5 feet away just watching you. Yeah, go. You're going to put something in there? That's cool. Go ahead. And he's just watching people give their donations. I don't even like standing back there. I feel uncomfortable because people think I'm watching them as a pastor. Jesus was doing it. He had his disciples around. They were chilling out, just watching people give. He had something he wanted to teach him. Here's what it says in Mark 12. Mark 12, 41 through 44 says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. So this is the illustration I want to give you so you don't forget this, okay? Many rich people, the way it says it there, they just threw in large amounts. I just kind of think of a bunch of rich people walking by the giving box with large amounts of money, and Jesus and his disciples are kind of watching, and they kind of walk by Jesus, and they throw it in. They're large amounts of money. Many rich people threw in large amounts of money, and they did it ostentatiously. They did it so people would see it. They carried their bags, and they wanted everybody to see how much money they gave. This is what it looks like to me in my mind, because it says rich people came in and they threw their money in. So they just tossed in bags of cash to impress people, evidently. Well, Jesus continues the story, verse 42. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. You guys in the back see that? Got good eyes? Less than a penny. A poor widow walks over, probably with a hunchback, that's the way I envision her, and she drops it in the treasury after all these guys had put their big bags of money in. This is less than a penny. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to pick these up. I don't even bother picking these up anymore. If I see it on the ground, I let it go. It's got to be silver before I pick it up. I'm not going to waste my time. It's just not worth it to me to bend over. Maybe it is to you. I don't. Less than a penny. So she walks over and puts in less than a penny. And these guys are dumping bags. They're throwing bags of money in. Here's what he says. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, he has something he wants to communicate. This is a picture lesson. This really happened. Jesus is wise. He has his disciples around. He says, you're going to see this. I'm going to teach you something. He said, I tell you the truth, which means listen. This is true. This is not false. This is important. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we should listen. He said, this poor widow who has put in more into the treasury than all the others, her little fraction of a penny. She has put more into the treasury than all others. That is phenomenal that he would say that. After these guys had their big bags of money, and they have their, she had her one less than a penny. Jesus says she gave more. Now, how could that be? He tells us. He says, because they all gave out of their what? Their what? They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had. All she had to live on. That woman put in everything she had. So Jesus is making an important point here that sacrificial giving is not about the amount. It never has been. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. You can give tons of money, but if you have tons of money to give out of, you could do it with a bad heart. You know, to give everything you have, whether it's a lot or a little, Jesus prays that. It's about the heart. It's about your heart in giving, isn't it? And we need to know that. That is an important story. I had a couple examples a number of years ago. Ted Turner, I read in the news that he had given $1 billion away. Ted Turner gave $1 billion away, and that was big news. So I was reading the article, and I thought that was, and there's nothing wrong with that. I thought, wow, that's awesome. $1 million, $1 billion, that's a lot of money. But I also heard about another person who a few years ago gave some money away. And here's the two people side by side. Okay, on the left we have Eli Raymer, Tony and Laurie's little boy. This was a few years ago. He put a lemonade stand up for our first Roots campaign to buy the land. He did a lemonade stand, and he gave it all to God so we could buy that property. And then we have Ted Turner, who gave $1 billion. I don't know people's hearts, but when I think of that, you know whose gift I think is greater in Jesus' eyes? I'm just guessing. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's all Ted has, but I don't think it is. I don't think he gave everything away. I think he's got multiple billions. That's what I understand, right? I don't think Eli at that point had much more than $15 to his name. Maybe he does. Maybe he has more than I do. I don't know. You get the point, though? I was blessed by Eli. And there's nothing wrong. I blessed Ted for giving. I'm not judging his heart on what he gave. I'm just saying, in God's eyes, he's got a different standard than we do because there was no news article about Eli. But in heaven, I think the angels were reading the Jesus Times, and they had an article about Eli. And I don't know if Ted made it or not. But Eli did, didn't he? It's not about the amount. Sacrificial giving is not about the amount. It's about the heart. Amen? That's point number one. Well, let me give you a quote here, because I love this quote of Pablo Picasso. He said, I'd like to live like a poor man, only with lots of money. I love it. Live like a poor man, only with lots of money. We can do that if we're generous. We can have lots of money and have a good heart, but we need to be generous. We need to be generous. All right. Here's the second truth of sacrifice. First of all, sacrificial giving is not about the amount. Number two, sacrificial giving will involve a cost. It must. That's part of the definition of sacrifice. It's got to cost you something, whether it's one penny or whether it's a whole bag of money. It's got to cost you something in order for it to be a sacrifice. Otherwise, it's not sacrificial. So let's look at two stories of giving in the Bible that cost one person in particular, David. We're going to look at the story in 1 Chronicles 21, David's conviction, the costly gift. Now let me turn to this, because I'm going to read part of it. 2 Chronicles 21, 18 through 23. You've heard this story before, but just let me read this, because this is a great story on sacrificial giving costing something. Now David was very wealthy at this time. There had been something that he did wrong. It says that he numbered the fighting troops. He counted the men, and God had told him specifically, don't do that. His official said, David, don't do that. That's a bad idea. David said, go do it. So he did it, and God brings a plague and judges David. Okay, that's at the end of the plague here is what we're reading. It says, Satan rose up against Israel. Well, let me start at verse 8. It says, then David said, actually, let me go where, actually, I have it written down. Verse 18, let me go there. That would be better. It says, the angel of the Lord ordered, Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar of the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that God had spoken in the name of the Lord. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. So David is being judged by God, and an angel appears to him on this threshing floor of Araunah. Just some guy in Israel, he's threshing wheat, and this is where this transaction takes place, on this hill right where he's threshing wheat. That's David, the angel, and Araunah and his four boys. And Araunah comes out, sees the king, he sees the angel, he's shocked at both, he bows down to the king, and David says to him, let me have this sight, because this is where the plague stopped, let me have this sight of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price, said David to one of his subjects. Araunah said to David, no, you take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all of this. But I like what David said, because a sacrificial gift is going to cost you. Here's what David replies. King David replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. You see, David could have thought, you know, score, God has blessed me today. Not only is a plague going to stop here, but this guy is gifting me. This is a gift in kind. Thank you, God. I'm saving money here. This guy's going to give all this to me. That is clearly a blessing from God. And David says, no, you don't understand. I will pay full price because it's not about you. It's about my heart. And it's about my God is worthy of a sacrificial gift. I'm not going to sacrifice to my God something that costs me nothing. A sacrificial gift has to cost us something. Again, it can be time, treasure, or talent. It doesn't matter, but it will cost us something. Sometimes just listening to someone will cost us, doesn't it? We can begrudge the time. Somebody's talking our ear off. They won't stop talking. You've got something else to do, and they won't stop talking. And you choose to let it cost you and listen to them. And you do it for God, that's a sacrificial gift. That's a sacrificial gift. It's the same as money. We can choose to sacrifice for God. It's going to cost us. You know, I've heard stories, even through this campaign, of people that are making choices to have it cost them to be able to give more than what they normally give so that we can accomplish what we think God's calling us to do. I've heard stories. I know some people are giving up their Starbucks. That's a cost. For some of you, that's too much. You can only go so far, Bill, okay? It's only going to cost me so much. Okay, they gave up their Starbucks. They could give more. I know people that are putting off. They need a new vehicle. They're not going to buy one for 3 years. They were looking at them. They stopped because they wanted to be able to give more. I know the family that's doing that. I know people in this room that are moving into less expensive housing so they can be more faithful and pay debt and be able to give more to God. They're making choices, hard choices. It costs them. That's what a sacrifice does. It will cost you. I like what Elizabeth Elliot said. She said, to be a follower of the crucified Christ means sooner or later a personal encounter with the cross. And the cross always, always entails loss. As a Christian, it will cost us to be a Christian. It must. To encounter the cross and not have loss doesn't even compute. There will be and there should be loss, and it will cost us to be Christians. And for many of you, it's cost you, and you do it with a smile. And I think God smiles in heaven with you. I do. Here's another example of David. I call it the leadership gift. This is a principle that we've used and we're using even in our campaign tonight. And this is found in the same book, 1 Chronicles. I'll go to chapter 29. And I read this the other night at a meeting we had. But I'll read it to you again. This is, David had prepared, this is a building campaign in the Old Testament. This is one of David's building campaign to build the first temple with his son Solomon. They raised money to do that. And what we see is David provided a bunch of it, but all Israel contributed to be able to build the temple in Jerusalem, the very first temple. Let me read this to you. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, starting verse 1, it says, "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord.' Then he says to all Israel, 'With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone, marble, all of these in large quantities.'" David's telling the people, "I've given a whole bunch for this thing. I have sacrificed," is what he's saying to his people. And he gives them the numbers here. He says, "Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple." And then he gives the numbers. He says, "I gave 110 tons of gold." That's a lot of gold. 260 tons of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. And then he says this, he turns to the crowd, to his leaders, and says, "Now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" That means to sanctify or dedicate or devote themselves. Who's ready to sanctify yourself, to set yourself apart, to do what I did and give sacrificially? That's what he asks his crowd, the leaders, the Israelites, the people that are following him. Who's willing to consecrate himself to the Lord today? He challenges them. First he sets an example, then he challenges them. It says this, "Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel," keep that in mind, the leaders, "the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds and the officials in charge of the king's work, gave willingly." That's the house church leaders and small group leaders and ministry leaders. They all gave willingly. They said, "I'll sanctify myself. I'll set myself apart. I'll consecrate myself to my God. I'll step up to the plate. My leaders are willing to do it. I'm going to do it." And that's what they did. It says they gave willingly. It says they gave toward the work of the temple, the building. They gave 190 tons of gold, another 370 tons of silver. They gave 675 tons of bronze and 3,750 tons of iron. It calls the numbers out specifically, and that's important. David announces how much his leaders gave. They all knew this is how much the leaders have pledged and given. Specifically, he gives specifics. It says, "Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jael, the Gershonite." And this is the verse I want you to look at. I love this verse. It says that the people now all the people who saw David give and the leaders give and heard the number, it says the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. I love that verse. I memorized that verse years ago. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders because they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And that's what happens when people see, you know, we as leaders in any church, really leadership in general shouldn't just be about talking. It should be about doing, right? We want people to follow our lives, to do what we do, not just do what we say. We want to be leading. And I just want to share with you, I'm encouraged, in this church you have leaders who are leading, even in this area of our capital campaign, believing that God wants us to put a building on that property. And it's going to take my gifts, it's going to take the leaders, it's going to take all of us to do our part, whatever God calls us to, and that'll be next week. But I want to share with you that this Thursday, I call the pastors, we call our leaders together, and most of the leaders, and we ask them to make their pledges early to this capital campaign. We asked them to come, and we had a worship service. It was awesome. We prayed, and we sang, and we heard testimonies, and we all, there's a little treasure chest, and I made them do this, even though it was kind of hokey. I said, it's kind of hokey, but that's all right. You don't get a chance to do this very often. I said, bring your, you've prayed about this. You know what God's called you to give, and I know what God's called me, so let's just all of us make our way up here, and we dedicated ourselves. We dropped our commitments, our pledges in the box that night. And we prayed, and we thank God for what he did. And I just want to share with you, just like David did, I want you to know that I'm sacrificing. In our life, in our finances, my wife and I have prayed, and we said, this is a sacrificial gift for us. We're committed to this. The pastors are committed. And our leaders, on Thursday night, they showed us that they were committed. They stood up and said, count us in. And they dropped their pledges in. They prayed about this, and they determined what God had them do. And what I want to do for you is share with you that number. Just like David gave specific numbers, I'm going to share with you what the leaders of this church have pledged and committed so far to this capital campaign to put a building on that property, okay? Would you be encouraged? I think I have this next slide. Would you be encouraged if your leaders, if I told you, believe it or not, that the leaders so far who have given, that's 74. Whoops, there it is. Whoops. No. Here it comes. Scrib, are you pressing that or am I? Back, $229,000. Would you believe that? No, you won't because you saw the slide. You saw me cross it out. I'm just yanking your chain. They didn't just pledge $229,000. You should give a round of applause for that. That would be good. That'd be amazing. $229,000. How many of you have that much money in your bank account? Not many. That's a lot of money. And we don't take that lightly. But that's not what your leaders pledge. At this church, your committed sacrificial leaders, they didn't pledge $229,000. They pledged $1,229,000. That's your leaders. We've already got pledges of $1.25 million. We're halfway there. Just from your leaders, that's 74 families that have pledged so far. $1.25 million. Halfway to our goal, we're trusting we'll even go past that goal. We're believing that God's leading us. And that should encourage you. The people rejoice at the willing response of their what? Of their leaders, because they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. That's the kind of leaders we have in this church. They've given freely and wholeheartedly, and I cannot tell you how many families I sat with over the last month just explaining this project that looked right at me. And it's not always comfortable for me to go talk about a project and this is what we need and here's the needs and can you help us? But I have to do that as a leader. I get to do that. I had so many families just look right in the eye and say, Bill, you know what? We love giving. We just get a kick out of giving. So we're in, man. Don't worry about it. We're thrilled that we get to give to this. I had families tell me that. And I'm like, God bless you. You just made my night so much easier. That was so wonderful. And I know they mean it. They're just cheerful. Some of them said, we've been in campaigns for years. We've moved around a little bit, and every church we go to seems to have a campaign. But we love giving to God. We love it. And that's the kind of people we have in this church. We should be glad about that. So, sacrificial giving is not about the amount. Sacrificial giving will cost us. And third, last point, sacrificial giving will always have an impact. Always have an impact. We're going to look at another gift from the Bible, another example of a gift, an impact gift. We call this the memorable gift. This is Mary's gift. You can find this in John chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 26. I love this gift because Jesus said about this gift that wherever the gospel is preached, people will talk about this gift. Wherever the good news is preached, we're going to talk about Mary's gift. And I love the fact that 2,000 years later, here I am again, talking about this gift that happened this evening, Mary's gift. And you know the story. It takes place in Bethany. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, so they're having a party. That's what they did then. They raised the guy from the dead. Let's party. So they bring Lazarus, and they're partying at his house, and his sisters were there, and Mary and Martha were serving. It says that Mary brought in a very expensive jar of perfume, and she anointed Jesus' feet, and she wiped it with her hair. And the story's kind of famous because the keeper of the money, who is Judas Iscariot, kind of balked at that and pushed back and said, you know, what a waste. What a waste. That perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Wouldn't that have been better? That was so noble in his mind, but the scripture actually says he was probably stealing from it, and that's why he wanted it. Anyway, he says, what a waste, and he gives the amount. How much was that perfume worth? Does anybody know this, the passage? A year's wages, a whole year's wages. Think of that. What did you put on your 1040 this year? April 15th when you said it, that big number, you know, the one that they start taking taxes from, that big number. Imagine you walking up tonight, taking that number, your yearly wage, and putting it all in that box. Would that be a sacrificial gift for you? Her perfume cost that much money, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. And here's what Jesus says, because people didn't like it. At least we know that Judas didn't like it. And Jesus said this in Matthew 26:13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Was this an important gift? This was a memorable gift. This was a gift of thanksgiving. This was worshiping her Lord. This was an incredible gift. It was an incredible gift. I like what Randy Alcorn said. He said, because we give, eternity will be different for others and for us. Jesus makes this pretty clear that this gift and gifts of the heart, gifts that cost us, sacrificial gifts, are important. They're not to be put aside. It doesn't mean we shouldn't help the poor. We did that last week too. We want to help poor people. Jesus wasn't saying don't help poor people, but he was saying, listen, this was an important gift. It was a sacrificial gift. It cost her a bunch. He didn't rebuke her. He praised her. Not only did he praise her, he said everywhere the good news is told, this story about her in her memory will be told. That's a pretty significant gift, isn't it? God wants us to be sacrificial in our giving. It will have impact. It will have impact. For us at our church, just to remind you, because again, this is what we're talking about as a church. This is where we're headed, is that we do believe God's called us to build a building. We're going to do it in two phases. This is the first phase, a facility where we can meet and impact people, have impact, to be able to influence, to have more stability, not being threatened to be thrown out of our building like we have been for the last 11 years. We're going to have opportunities like we've never had before. The Sandy Church is poised to burst out of the seams, and I believe a facility like this is going to help us do it. And not to mention, like I already said, that we're told we're going to get kicked out. This is what phase one will look like. Again, this will be the educational wing once we do phase two. And I'm just excited because I think it's going to happen. And again, it's not about buildings. It's about changed lives. It's not about brick and mortar. It's about eternity. We believe that. This is what phase one could look like. That 7th East running up and down here in front of the building. And then to the north there will be 114th South. That's where it's located. That property is about 116th South. This is what phase two will look like. Again, we just want to inform you of where things are at here. This is what it looks like coming south on 7th East at about 116th South in Draper. That's what it'll look like, phase one. And then we add the big lobby and the sanctuary, the bigger sanctuary. That'll be phase two. This is what the lobby will look like in phase two. It'll be a huge place. A lot of you will have your weddings there, and your kids will be playing there. And this will be an awesome place to hang out. Have a big play place right back over there in the corner where everybody that drives past on 7th East will go, man, we got to check that church out. We got to have a birthday party there, and then we'll share the gospel with them. They'll get saved, and we'll rejoice. We'll have a party with them. So we can have this by next spring, and I'm trusting God that we can. Again, it's not about a building. It's about opportunities that God's given us. It's about wisdom, saying, let's press ahead. It makes sense. It makes sense to us as pastors. It makes sense to us as a church, and as we've gotten counsel, this is where we're headed. And next week, you'll have an opportunity to be a part of it. So a couple weeks ago, we handed you some commitment cards, which I'll talk about in a second. Just in summary here, sacrificial giving is offering to God something precious for the sake of something or someone else. That was from Webster's, and I like that. It's time to move from deliberation to decision. Our leaders made their decisions last Thursday night. And from consideration to commitment. So I'm helping you. I'm leading you like David did. Who's willing to stand up? Who's willing to say, I'll consecrate myself. I'll be a part of this to some degree. It's not about the amount. You might have a little, and your gift might be the biggest gift because it's your heart and it's what you're giving out of. But I want all of us to be a part of this the way God tells you to be. If God says don't be a part, then by all means, please don't be a part. And like I said last week, if you can't keep your commitment, then don't put anything down. If you're just putting a number down because it makes you feel better, that's a bad reason. And it really messes with us when we make plans based on your gift that you don't give. So I'd rather have you, if when in doubt, don't put anything down. But ask God, how can I be involved? God, do you want me to be involved? You ought to at least do that. And then when you do that, next week what we'll have is commitment cards. And I want to make this very clear. I want to be clear with you on how this is going to work. Next week we'll have a service, but after the service what we're going to do as part of the service is we'll have commitment cards on your chairs and you'll have the opportunity. I want you to keep praying this week. Don't turn anything in this week. Next weekend, we'll all of us, all three locations, all five services, we'll turn our commitment cards in and you'll put down what God has led you to commit to this project, to what he's doing at the Rock Church. You'll fill that out, and we'll turn that in next week, and then we'll wait a couple weeks because people oftentimes come in over those 2 weeks before we announce the full amount, but we will eventually announce the full amount. So that's what's going to happen. Next week, it'll also be a celebration. We'll have some kind of fun treats, and we're going to celebrate. Again, Jesus partied all the time, so we can party once in a while. I think that's just fine. We're going to do that next week. It'll be a celebration, and it'll be fun. So, you guys down with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's happening. We want to roll that out. Let's pray. Let's thank God for our time, and we'll worship some more. Lord, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you, God, for the examples in the Scripture of different kinds of gifts. Lord, I thank you for sacrificial giving that we see and the examples that you give us. Lord, thank you that sacrificial giving, it isn't about the amount. Lord, we know that. But we do know it's going to cost us. It has to cost us something. Lord, and we thank you that sacrificial giving always has an impact, just like Mary's gift, how that's been impactful for 2,000 years. That story's been told of a gift. Lord, I thank you for our leaders at this church. And really for everyone, how generous this church is and our leaders stepping out and saying, we'll lead the pack. We'll step up. We'll pledge $1.23 million, God, almost $1.25 million they've already pledged for this project. God, we give thanks for that. We are humbled by that. Who are we that we should be able to give to you like this? Everything is from your hand. You are God. You're the King. You're the Lord. Jesus, we honor you and we pray that you be glorified even through this whole fundraiser, this campaign. God, I pray that you be glorified, you be honored, and more people would be in heaven because of it. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.